I'm calling the 1,394th meeting of the Board of Directors to order. I would ask for an approval of the agenda.
So moved.
Motion made and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Thank you. Next, I have approval of the minutes of February the 27th.
Second.
Motion made and seconded. Any comment? Hearing none. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? I'd like to start the public comment period with a special guest. I'd like to recognize Jim Denninger, who is the president of the Greater Washington Board of Trade. Welcome, Jim.
Thank you very much, Chairman, and members of the board. I appreciate it a great deal. I'm Jim Denninger. I'm the president and CEO of the Greater Washington Board of Trade. We represent the bigger businesses typically in the Greater Washington region, Northern Virginia, Suburban Maryland, and the District of Columbia. About 3 weeks ago, we took a group of people over to China. About 30 of us visited with the CEO of Ford Motor Company China, with high-speed rail in China, with airports in China, even visited with the panda in China. They have 14 tubs. We have one. We have a ways to go, but we're working on it. The air quality assessment in Beijing goes from blue to yellow to orange and then up to red. And the highest they had ever brought it was to yellow. While we were there, it was brought up to orange. We're sitting there with the president of Ford Motor Company Asia standing in front of a window, and I said, Dave, do you have a private screen on? We don't have a private screen on. We don't have a private screen. He looked at behind him, and he couldn't see the building across the street. It was that bad. We all wore masks. We were going through Tiananmen Square and certainly through the Forbidden City. But he went on in the conversation to say it's the single biggest issue they have right now in recruiting and retaining employees in Beijing. You've been promoted. We're sending you to Beijing. I'd like to keep my lower job and not go to Beijing. I'm not going to push my kids around in a stroller because they can't go out and park in Beijing. So I use that as a bit of a point of reference and a little bit about the Greater Washington region. Yogi Berra was the catcher for the Yankees, and he had a lot of sayings that he would throw around from time to time. He had one that said, when he asked about his favorite restaurant, said, people don't go there anymore. It's too crowded. The Greater Washington region continues to grow, and our challenge, our Achilles heel, is that it's too crowded, that the congestion is crippling, that, frankly, it's a big concern as we talk about the opportunities for people to get to and from work. And our magic, our success, and our solution into the future is met. The business community, coordinated by the Board of Trade, has been very, very specific on the need and the push for 8-car trains, increasing capacity from 33% of 6-car trains to 8-car trains. We know it's not just adding new cars, but it's the power to move them along. So I wanted to tell you how strong we are in our support of the $6.1 billion of funding for the Momentum Program moving forward, and that many meetings are underway with elected and appointed officials all across the Greater Washington region. We had lined up meetings with the Secretary of Transportation and the governor in Virginia, but for the snow, that's been rescheduled. We've had our meetings with the people in Maryland, with Arlington County, Alexandria, throughout the entirety of the region, not just me, but business representatives. And we're working hard to line up more and more of the business leaders. We're thrilled about the Cherry Blossom coming out and a lot of tourists coming to visit. But the metro system really wasn't designed just to take tourists down to the tourist site. Its lifeblood is to move people from and to work on a regular basis. The economic engine of the region, frankly, is metro. And just wanted to say to all of you how strong we are in our support, how much we appreciate all the work. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Jim. We appreciate the support. It's key. Next, we have public comment, and I will give the chair's usual warning about 20 minutes, but with a special emphasis, I think we have 32, 2 minutes, 2 minutes. We have 32 individuals signed up for an opportunity to speak. It's really important about fairness to everybody to limit your comments to 2 minutes. There is a clock over here that will give you a yellow light and a beep when you have 20 seconds left. When you cross the threshold of having your time up, it will start to continuously beep. It is time to conclude your remarks, and if you don't, I will remind you that your time is up. So please try to keep your remarks to 2 minutes, and we'll try to get through this in the next hour plus. So first, I'd like to recognize Bruce Williams, the mayor of the city of Tacoma Park. Good morning, Mayor.
Thank you, Chair, members of the board. As you said, I'm Bruce Williams, mayor of the city of Tacoma Park. The city, both the city council and our residents, has a long history of engagement with this board on issues surrounding Tacoma Metro. We care about what happens at this site because it's our access to transit. Though the site is wholly within the borders of the District of Columbia, much of the impact from what happens on this site falls on our residents. We've been engaged with this board from the time in the 1990s when solicitations first went out looking for developers for part of the site. For all these years, we've been advocates for making sure that access to transit was a primary concern. At each step over the years, we've asked that you remember that this site is unlike most others in your system. As you've considered this joint development process and various proposals, we've asked you to remember that this site, because of its location on a state border, is different from other potential or actual joint development situations. Because of this, we've asked you to recognize our interest and our duty to request information, to receive briefings and presentations, and to provide official City Council comments at every step. We appreciate that the Planning, Program Development, and Real Estate Committee asked us to rank the priorities we listed in our October 2013 resolution, and we greatly appreciate that they incorporated most of them in their recommended joint development resolution. We also appreciate that the chair expressed his willingness to request that the mayor's office in the district accord us standing in their planned unit development process. Whether or not you approve the proposed resolution before you today, we look forward to continuing to engage with all partners, WMATA, the district, Maryland, and Virginia, and the federal government to make sure that whatever development takes place on the Tacoma Metro site fits in with the surrounding neighborhood and is the smartest and most sustainable project that will retain access to transit for those who live here now and those who will follow us in the years ahead. Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor. Next we have Bill Walden.
Thank you. We own the building next door to where the proposed building is, 7036 Avenue. We are building here, and the proposed building, this is an apartment complex, two buildings of about 24 units. I believe in development, and I'm for development. But when this property was originally taken by the government, there was a setback between our building and it's a green park there now, which you, it was proffered in, which they want to take away to build this building. And we are adamant that that little green strip park should be there because it's a setback between the big building here and our building here. 24 residents that use this park in the immediate area there. And who knows whether when this thing was originally developed for the transit authority, if it hadn't been proper, they would have moved it someplace else or what have you. But this park has been there ever since the 70s. So I would think that you would want to maintain some green space and open space here. Besides the building that will be built there, they will be able to use the park. And we do need green space out here to regenerate the air and what have you. You've got a massive transit thing here that's throwing up a lot of pollution, just stated here earlier, to regenerate it. Plus, it gives nature a chance to continue to live in this nice environmental area. If this plan goes forward, we would certainly have rights to mitigate this, which could drag this on for years. And I think there's got to be a way to get back on this. The other thing is, Eastern Avenue is a 26 wide street. It's, you need to have a deceleration lane here, and we need a larger curb cut coming in, and all the traffic can be redirected around the building, not so that this park can be reserved. It's not going to change the building. Redirect it around the building. Thank you for your time, and I'm going to show you that the traffic can be redirected here, come back here, leaving this little park here. We don't mind the building in the back. It's the front where the park is.
Save
the park.
Brad Nordheimer. Seth Grimes.
Morning. Thank you.
Good morning.
Members of the board. Charles, let me start actually. This is Seth Grimes, member of the board. They also represent the park. Start up. Keep public. We all know how important it is to have engaged community that does work. So you'll be hearing from a lot of people from the park today. My views are important to the mayor employees. So I don't have anything to add there other than to express my personal appreciation. I personally shared a couple of programs called to down for asking our priorities. Our city hall does ask him regarding issues such as holding light notification, which is up to 8% access. Doesn't have a whole lot to paper it, other than to say that you're trying to hear a lot of people will hear what they have to say. There's a lot of discord about this particular project. And I know that if I were sitting where you're sitting right now, that I would need to solve that discord or engaging.
Thank you. Linda Grady.
Good morning. I think that's Linda Gray. Good morning, everyone.
And good morning.
First of all, I want to thank you for the opportunity to address this issue. Good morning. My name is Linda Gray, and first I'd like to thank you for the opportunity to address this issue. I represent the Eastmont Cooperative, which is on Eastern Avenue in Northwest D.C. We are 54 homeowners. It is a cooperative. And I'd first like to say we are not anti-development. We are not. What we are is pro-neighborhood development. We want something that is going to fit the neighborhood and something that we can all be proud of. Again, as said before, we live on a street that is 26 feet wide from curb to curb. And we have traffic issues already. You don't even need a traffic study to know that. And so we want things that we can be proud of, that we can live with, because there are no do-overs when this is all said and done. We also wish to have the conversation we've been waiting for with WMATA and EYA. We asked for it at the July meeting. We asked for it in November. No one showed up. We asked for it at the ANC meeting in January, and I was assured by Mr. Walsh and, I'm sorry, his name? Mr. Walsh and, anyway, that we would have that conversation. They shook my hand and said, we hear you, and we will have that conversation. It is now March. And we would still like to have the conversation about pro-neighborhood development.
Thank you. Thank you. Valerie Tennant.
Good morning. My name is Valerie Tennant. I'm a commercial property owner at 218 Cedar Street, currently leased by 7-Eleven, directly across the street from Tacoma Metro. I'm opposed to EYA's plans, specifically the loading docks, the building height, and the loss of green space next to the apartment. The loading dock plan needs to be changed so that trucks can enter front in and exit front out. The loading dock plan right now, trucks will have to stop on the narrow and busy Eastern Avenue, holding up traffic until they can back up over the sidewalk, which is a danger to pedestrian and bicyclists. The loading dock plan goes against the Tacoma Central District Plan, which calls to improve pedestrian environment and quality of streetscape, especially to and from Metro, and make major pedestrian corridors pedestrian friendly. It also goes against VDOT's mission, which includes enhancing the quality of life for district residents by ensuring that people and goods move efficiently and safely with minimal adverse impact on residents. The traffic study that was done is badly flawed in that it does not factor in traffic that will be in the area due to developments already planned and in progress. The building height should stay within the zoning regulations, which is plenty high. Adding height above that is detrimental to the community, not a benefit to it, as it is supposed to be when going through PUD. I quote, the PUD process is designed to encourage high quality developments that provide public benefits. Smart growth is key, especially at this busiest metro station. I say go back to the drawing board and design a safe, efficient plan.
Your time has now expired.
Thank you.
Next is Lorraine Pearsall, followed by Peter Freuden. And
my name is Lorraine Pearsall. I am here on behalf of Historic Tacoma. We are the local historic preservation organization in Tacoma Park, D.C., and in Tacoma Park, Maryland. We do not oppose a development compatible in size and scale with existing structures and that preserves our existing green space and trees. This is not your 80-foot concept. Our attorney has submitted our letter to you requesting delay and resolution of really major issues. We ask you to work with us. We invite you to before moving forward. You have a unique situation here. The station is located in a National Register Historic District and is adjacent to a National Register Historic District in Maryland. As such, federal process is required. We believe that's very important for protecting the sense of place in our community, and that's what National Register Districts are all about. This must happen before you move forward with a local process and before anything is conveyed to the developer. And we are talking about Section 106 and Section 4F and NEPA. There are also material inconsistencies with your proposed concept in terms of the comprehensive plan, and that will need process to resolve. Finally, your traffic study review that we provided to you today is extremely flawed, and it needs to be redone so that it's consistent with industry standards. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Peter Freuden, followed by Sabrina Eaton.
I'm Peter Freuden. I live at on Eastern Avenue. I live very close to the Metro station. I find the scale of the proposed development completely out of keeping with the neighborhood. Contrary to the official DC government plan for the area, the Tacoma Central District plan, and contrary to smart growth principles, WMATA itself contributed to the development of the Tacoma Central District plan when this development first came under consideration. I am for development of the site, but the developer is using the rhetoric of smart growth to try to justify a scale of development far beyond anything that should be contemplated. As board members of WMATA, your first charge is to look for the transit function of metro stations when contemplating a change in land use. This development would compromise the functionality of the Tacoma Metro Station in several ways. It would disrupt pedestrian access from Eastern Avenue. It would reduce metro parking by over a third. It would clog the very narrow streets with additional vehicles making access to the station by metro buses, ride-on buses, and private vehicles more difficult, adding to commuting time. Beyond these simple shortcomings, the development fails to address current well-known shortcomings of the station. For example, bus riders, many of whom are elderly and handicapped, would continue with long uphill walks from some of the buses to the station as the current effective bus configuration would continue and possibly be expanded. Curving far away from the station, worse, the footprint of the proposed development is such that this deficiency in the bus layout would be locked in place. The tunnel for handicapped access would not be extended to the district side. And no kiss and ride is provided at Carroll Ave. The development has implied that all design issues should be addressed through the DC plan unit development process. A PUD is meant to allow for some enhanced density to exchange community benefits. And based on broad community support, none of that is played right. It seems that the developer is trying to seduce WMATA to accept the scale of development well beyond the carrying capacity of the site.
Peter Adler, thank you. Next is Sabrina Eaton, followed by Pam Ellison, and I would ask that the next speaker move close to the podium so that we can have a quick transition between speakers. So, Sabrina.
Thanks for having us in to speak. My name is Sabrina Eaton, and I live at 7019 Eastern Avenue, directly across the street from the Metro Park. I'm not opposed to development on the state, but prefer to have a more aesthetic neighbor than your parking lot. But the giant apartment building that EYA has proposed is way out of scale with the surrounding neighborhood. They want the super-sized square footage there to wring extra dollars out of the sweet deal they're getting at public expense from you. Don't go for it. Their plan also diminishes transit access by cutting metro parking 153 spaces to 98. The only reasons that lot is constantly packed are the odd short-term parking hours you've imposed and the requirement that meters be fed with coins instead of smartphones. Despite these drawbacks, it is often full on weekends, and I see it from my house. At 5:30 last Saturday, 118 cars were parked there, way more than would fit in the 98 car proposed small lot. I'm also concerned about my home being more frequently flooded by runoff from your property if more of it is paved over. There are many reasons to oppose this plan. It can't be summarized in 2 minutes. Many are listed on the TacomaMetro.com website. I'd like to thank all the neighborhood residents and area public officials who took time off from their jobs. They've come out here in a care service. Point out that many of the comments we've received in support of this plan are part of a PR campaign orchestrated by EYA, retired Chesapeake Public Strategy, host dinner and a letter events around Tacoma Park. The so-called Coalition for Smarter Growth, also funded by EYA, has posted misleading propaganda on its website and others, as well as a forum people can use to send a supportive email to the WMATA board based on the incorrect information they supply. Don't be fooled by EYA's AstroTurf hack. Please abandon this transfer of public property to line the developer's pockets, or at least scale back this crap. Say say no to supersized Tacoma Metro development. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next is Pam Ellison, and followed by Sarah Hayden.
Good morning.
Good morning.
And although I do not live near that, I come to understand each day how the neighbors live would feel, how I do feel. And I would like you to imagine how you would feel if someone came to your front door at your house and they said, we are going to build a building across the street from you, which is more than twice the height of the house that you live in. Just please imagine how you would be. Thanks.
Next is Sarah Hayden, followed by Joseph Redovich.
Hi, my name is Sarah Hayden. I just moved to Tacoma Park with my family, 7108 Cedar Ave. We're two houses over border at Eastern. I can see here the metro from my house. As a new resident of Tacoma Park, I learned of this development. First thing I tried to do, right now, I would like to highlight the lack of real data. And whether you agree with that data or not, or agree with how, or the proposal or not, the fact is there's lack of data from MoDA. I've mentioned that in an ANC meeting in November. I have looked for other public forums. I guess I had the luck of being invited to a private home for Jack Lester from PYI spoke, but that was not a public forum. And here's the thing. It is too large of a building, but it's hard, and your neighbors squabbling over scale and size would be much easier if you were presented with a textual master study that showed this building full volume along Eastern Ave compared to the building on the eastern side and also the north side. So I really am appalled, again, at the lack of information provided by WMATA. So I'm here to request that the WMATA board reject the agreement for you and that you require the developer and your real estate team to go back to the drawing board. And I also request that you get a qualified developer consultant or historic preservation consultant on board right now to evaluate best practices for doing responsible infill development in existing, and that's what we have. And all the neighbors here, I agree with them. I support responsible infill development. This is not a one-size-fits-all solution, and unfortunately, it seems to be okay with ignoring the current neighborhood, which includes both DC side and Maryland side. Let's conserve our resources, respect the neighborhood that draws so many people, and let's go for an excellent project. This is not it.
Brad Zapp.
I'm sorry.
Good morning, Board of Directors. My name is Joseph Red Savage. I live in the Elm Garden Apartments at 7050 Eastern Avenue Northwest. And I rise this morning to encourage you in the strongest possible terms to vote against the WMATA Tacoma Development Resolution that is before you today. And I will turn your attention. It is on page 25 and 26 of your packets today. There are a number of problems with this resolution. For instance, on page 26, it indicates a number of requirements for the size of the facility. But then it goes on in a section here saying, resolve either this resolution or the agreement is construed as endorsing that. Well, you don't get to have it both ways. You're making a statement here, you're entering into an agreement where you are endorsing the design. A particular issue here is point number five about green space. You're saying there's going to be a 1 acre green space area. This is of vital importance to the community. Where is it going to be? Of particular interest to those residents who are on Eastern Avenue is preserving the green buffer between the apartments on Eastern Avenue, which is north of the parking lot, and the existing parking lot. What is really defective in this situation, what you're seeing here today, is not a group of people who are NIMBYs, not in my backyard. We're very supportive of development. We're very reasonable people. What you're seeing here today is a lack of effective community engagement. My building's owner, residents in my building have not been directly engaged with the design. There has not been effective community engagement. And here we have an agreement that is saying one thing and doing another at the same time. What's really at stake here and what you need to think about is the credibility of WMATA. Your credibility is at stake here when you endorse a development agreement that is not sensitive and has not been negotiated in good faith with the community. Please consider that. Thank you.
Next is Megan Scribner, followed by Chris Simpson.
Hello. My name is Megan Scribner. I live at 71 Lowell Avenue. I'm not opposed to this development. But the reality is, and those patients restrict hours, but they also. There are no parking lots available for any of us. On weekends, we park a lot of obstacles. And parking solutions allow parking. Although walk that's five steps, not everyone that there's not that there is a need to be not true, not in the place of doubt.
Next is Chris Simpson, followed by Peter Kovar.
I live on Peter Avenue, in Park, Maryland, about 5 I support sensible development. Here today, the urge is not to improve the building up load docks, residents, pedestrians going to space have diverse sidewalks, loading docks. Trucks will have to stop traffic, loading traffic. Keep in mind, many people are Maryland residents like me. Eastern Avenue is the main source of egress from the city. It raises serious public safety concern that Eastern could become so congested that we cannot get out, or the public safety vehicle could not get in. An independent consultant has raised fundamental questions about the accuracy of WMATA traffic study, stating that its methodology is so flawed as to render the study invalid. We must look into these allegations to ensure that the traffic analysis is correct before approving the sales contract. I'm also concerned that the current proposal would reduce the number of parking spaces. Using the metro at night, I and my neighbors often drive to the metro for reasons of personal safety. Without enough space, residents drive to their destination rather than park, take the metro. The design of the building is oversized and incompatible with the surrounding neighborhood. It is so large that it will impede the transit. While I have heard that WMATA does not want to engage in design issues, I believe this approach is unfair to Maryland residents who will have no right to be heard during the zoning process. We Marylanders are at least as affected as DC residents by the proposal. It is patently unfair to cut us out of the design review process. I ask you, WMATA, on design improvements now before approving this concept. Thank you.
Thank you. Peter Kovar. followed by Shakta Bishon.
I'm Peter Kovar, a Maryland Metro user who lives 5 houses from the Tacoma site. I support smart growth development there, but this proposal should be modified. Please delay the vote until there is real engagement with affected Maryland and D.C. residents by EYA. I agree with the earlier comments about the project's incompatibility, the increase in traffic, and the poor station access. Congressman Ben Holland also did a letter to the board about that. Rather than restating those points, I want to discuss the process. As mentioned, Maryland residents will be heavily impacted, yet will have virtually no say in the project. We're not part of the D.C. zoning process. The Metro Compact hearing will focus on Metro issues, not the building itself, and the FDA phase will deal with transit. Let's not rush this through today. Here are the problems with voting today. First, would ratify the PPDRE report that takes credit for achieving transit-oriented development goals like better transit and less auto use while failing to meet them. Second, it would accept an almost embarrassingly inadequate traffic study that ignores other area construction, downplays the current traffic problems around the site, and lowballs the impact of the planned parking. Artificially worsening traffic to induce more transit ridership isn't transit-oriented development. Third, we haven't had true community engagement. Our cross-border group wrote to WMATA in January outlining our concerns and requesting a meeting. We got a brief letter, no meeting. The Coalition for Smarter Growth, meanwhile, funded in part by EYA, post online comments backing the proposal without disclosing the EYA connection. Yet I know of just one public meeting where EYA talked to Marylanders from the neighborhood. The vote today would endorse a cynical approach that falls far short of true public engagement. Finally, the plan violates DC zoning rules and the Tacoma Master Plan. Key smart growth goals are not necessary. The one goal would be more dollars for WMATA and EYA. The project should meet vital community and transit goals and not be a windfall for WMATA and EYA. So let's get a process that gives all residents a chance to help take the proposal. Delay the vote today. Thank you.
Thank you, Peter. Chuck DeVizone, followed by Sarah Green.
Good morning. My name is Sarah Green, and I have the privilege of representing Advisory Neighborhood Commission 4B01 in the district. This site is within 4B01. There are a lot of, we've spoken, I've come to speak several times about the problems with this site, and I'm still disappointed. And I think there were opportunities here for a fair engagement of the public, and they were absolutely missed. We keep hearing that we have addressed the community needs. This project has changed. We've addressed the community needs. We've addressed the comments. You have not. You're still building an extraordinarily large building on this site. It dwarfs everybody around it, including my constituents. And what you've done, it's been mentioned before, what you've done in the resolution that you're adopting is you're saying, oh, no, no, we're not looking at design of the apartment building. We'll let the PUD process in the District of Columbia address that. We're just looking at transit. Well, what you have in the transit, what you would be looking at in transit, is a driveway entering in for your customers that's going to come extraordinarily close to my constituents. It's going to eat up all of their buffer. It's going to bring noise and fumes very close to them. You're going to have a tall trap building that you're going to use for parking. You're really working on design, but not giving us an opportunity to talk about design. So your resolution is hugely flawed. The building is hugely flawed. I'm asking you to look at the document that says it actually very well, that the drawing that I distributed. Please go back and do this in a responsible way. Thank you again.
Thank you. Next is Faith Wheeler, followed by Allegra Cungolosi.
Good morning, board members. Is it on? Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, great. I'm Faith Wheeler. I'm also an advisory neighborhood commissioner in my term in Tacoma of Washington, D.C. I want to say right off the bat, I am pro-development. and I am an environmentalist from the get-go. My dad was a developer. I worked 30 years at an international development agency, socioeconomic development. I want to give you a different view of Tacoma, or a view of Tacoma that you might not have heard very often. We've been a transit-oriented development community since 1883, a little before years ago. That's why we were founded. It was the first railroad suburb, and we stopped in the mid-60s, the North Central Freeway. I know a good many of you know about that. That freeway was going to bring down about 12,000 more cars into the city. Folks thought that was a great idea. It was a big discussion in Congress. Wonderful, more cars. Tacoma thought that was a lousy idea, and we stopped it with the help of Peter Craig and Cleveland Park, who did go for it. The resolution was included transferring federal highway funds to build a rapid transit system, WMATA's Metro Rail. So we've been very active in supporting such a thing, WMATA Metro Rail. In 1999 and 2000, a proposal was made to build buildings, housing on green space adjacent to the Tacoma Metro Station. In January 2002, the Office of Planning recommended building townhouses with two-car garages. We opposed that. We were excoriated for opposing that. And now, fortunately, the WMATA has accepted the community's proposal drawn in 2006 to build on top of the parking lot. So we've been really in the forefront of change.
Thank you. Your time has expired.
I'm sorry. Your time is up. Thank you.
Hello. My name is Allegra Cangelosi. I'm a resident of Tacoma Park since the late 80s. I'm coming to talk to you today because I want to tell you about the impact of this proposal on my view of WMATA. When I first moved here, I moved here because I lost my vision and could no longer drive a car. And DC was an area in which I could have a productive life with a lot of culture, a lot of neighborhood diversity. I'm now president of a nonprofit organization with several employees, and I attract them to this area by virtue of the public transit as well as the beauty and diversity of the neighborhoods. I live on Cedar Avenue, and I would walk by this building every day. It's a big part of my future neighborhood if it goes ahead. It is not consistent with WMATA's goals for this city. I would like to have development on that site so that WMATA can enjoy the additional revenue it needs to run an efficient transit system so people like me can come and live and work here. But that building is more about how many units can be packed in than it is about the future of our city and our community. And we know that Maryland, Virginia, and D.C. are all in this together. So I really encourage you to reject this proposal and take a new look at it with a long-term view in place for the future of the city. Thank you.
Thank you. Next is David Fry, followed by Ian Barclay.
Members of the board, thank you for the opportunity to speak. I'm a 26-year resident of Tacoma, D.C., taxpayer, homeowner, father of two children that went to D.C. public schools. I just have a few things to say. I think I'm the first person to speak in favor of this development. I think you should vote for it without delay. I notice that everybody says they're not opposed to development. Well, you know, judging by their actions over the last 15 years, I think it's true. They're not opposed to development so long as it's not economically viable. You know, they keep moving the goalposts. First it was the green space, now it's height, now it's parking. They keep changing the issues. They also seem to have the position that they think the way they describe it, ground is going to be broken tomorrow. The way they describe it, the proposal is in a final form. It's not. Right here in the hearing on page 27, it provides for further hearing, second public hearing, and public comment. After that, there will be a PUD process and historic preservation board review. This proposal is only that. It's a proposal. Don't tie the hand. Don't tie your hands. Don't tie the process hands now. Also, I speak to the Maryland and Virginia board members. Think about if you try to appease these people, think of the precedent you're setting when your project comes up. You know, micromanaging the details of this proposal at this stage could set a dangerous precedent that could affect all development from here on out, all proposals. This is not the time to fill in the details. The time for that comes later, and they will have full opportunity to participate. Thank you very much.
Thank you, David. Ian Barclay, followed by Mitty Figueredo. Ian Barclay.
Good morning, members of the board. My name is Mitzi Figueroa. I'm here today to express my strong support for EYA's proposed residential development at the Tacoma Metro site. My family and I live in Sligo Park Hills, about a mile from the Tacoma Metro station, and we use the station, and we spend a lot of time in downtown Tacoma Park. Although we appreciate the current charming downtown, we need many more residents living nearby to support additional dining and shopping options, as well as the existing small businesses. EYA's project, which transforms a surface parking lot into a transit-oriented residential community, will help ensure downtown Tacoma Park's future economic sustainability and provide much-needed housing at this desirable location. In fact, if it were up to me, this project would be taller and would include more residential units. In Montgomery County alone, we expect to add about 200,000 more residents over the next 20 years. Most of the demand for housing will be near transit. If the DC metro region does not keep up with this housing demand, housing costs will rise even higher and more residents will be priced out of the market. I've been following this project for almost 7 years, and I'm very eager to see it finally move forward. I believe EYA has responded more than adequately to community concerns. They have an excellent reputation for building high-quality projects that complement the existing community, and it's time to move this project forward. Thank you.
Thank you. Next is Alex Jaffe, and followed by Diana Prius.
Hi, I'm Alex Jaffe, Tacoma resident. I recognize the development around the metro station is a major priority of the board, and the planned building of the condominium meets some of the many goals that you all have. I desire to live in a walkable, transit-oriented community, and I'm happy to say that downtown Park or Laurel and Carroll meets these goals. However, there's quite a distinct gap between the downtown Tacoma on the Maryland side and the metro station. This corridor is in great development next to have from the 4th Street development agency, Carol and Peter. Currently, my wife and I are wary of walking into Metro and hesitate to use transit at night for this reason. The building is Tacoma Connected, of Tacoma Connected, would supplement the development happening in Carol already and enliven the area around the Metro. We would like more activity around the Metro station, safety, connect Maryland's DC community, and bring more residents to our current business and neighborhood. I request the board vote to move this process forward to approve the agreement between Wapata and EYA.
Thank you. Diana Prius, followed by Nick Casey.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Ilana Prius, and I am a 15-year resident of Tacoma Park, and I live a few blocks from the metro station. I'm raising my family there, and I commute daily at the Tacoma Metro Station. I'm also a native of the DC area. I'm eager to see the proposal approved to bring new homes to the surface parking lot at the Metro station. It will make the area safer and more usable for commuters and residents. It will also give more people in DC the same opportunity that I have, the option to use the Tacoma Metro station for daily commuting. The project is an important addition to Tacoma, DC and Tacoma Park, Maryland. It will improve our safety at the Metro station and in the surrounding neighborhood by ensuring there are more eyes on the street. It will increase the use of Metro system by having more people within walking distance of the station. It will strengthen our local economy by bringing more customers to our local businesses, and it will provide an important opportunity for more individuals and families to benefit from the strong neighborhood that is Tacoma. I also ask Metro to comply with the DC Council's 2002 resolution that requires 20% affordable housing. Also, I ask that the residential parking be further reduced because households will predominantly use transit, be walking, or bicycling. An important characteristic of the greater Tacoma area is that it is an inclusive community. Because of that, it is a strong community and a place in high demand. It is important to include new homes in our growing and changing community and welcome new people who can have the same opportunities we each benefit from today. I ask that you approve the proposal to advance this joint development agreement and hold a public hearing and allow it to move to the planned unit development process. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Ilana. Next is Nick Casey, followed by Cheryl Court.
Hello, my name is Nick Casey, and I appreciate the opportunity to speak today. I've lived in Tacoma for several years, and I support this development. It will remove an unnecessary parking lot and replace it with badly needed housing. Housing stock in Tacoma is mostly detached single-family houses. This helps to give the neighborhood a quaint charm, but the lack of density makes the downtown a little sleepy. I wish Tacoma was more vibrant. That is a common complaint that I hear from people who moved to Tacoma after having been priced out of more central neighborhoods. This development will bring more residents into the neighborhood who will help support local businesses and attract new ones. Some people are saying that this building is too tall. Of course, there are always people who say that about any proposed development. There are already many tall buildings in the neighborhood, including a 10-story building just two blocks away. Those have not destroyed the character of the neighborhood, and neither will this building. Any questions about zoning will be addressed by the DC Zoning Commission. The only complaint that I might have about this project is that I think it includes too much parking. It has 0.7 spaces per unit, but only 62% of DC households own a car. I'm sure those numbers are even lower for apartments that are right next to a Metro station. I used to live in the Cedar Crossing building, which is right around the corner. I always found it very easy to park on the street, which is free, so I'm not sure why anyone would pay $100 a month to park in a garage. The conversation about this development has also led to more talk about the remaining green space between the bus lanes and Cedar Street Northwest. I like trees and grass, but I'm opposed to any declaration that would make it a permanent park. The future will bring different transportation challenges, and there is no reason to restrict our options in addressing them. I'm excited to see this project move forward. A good deal for Tacoma and a good deal for Metro. Thank you.
Thank you. Next is Cheryl Court, followed by Elsie Ambrose.
Good morning, Board. My name is Cheryl Court. I'm representing the Coalition for Smarter Growth, and we are working to promote walkable, inclusive, and transit-oriented communities and the land use and transportation investment needed to make those communities flourish. I've tracked the discussion about what to do at the Tacoma Metro Station since 2000, and at this juncture, we're very happy to be back with a revised plan and ask that the board move forward and approve the amended joint development agreement and move to a public hearing. We support this revised project to build at least 208 housing units in a mid-rise building. And this proposal addresses many of the key concerns that were raised by opponents in the past, the preservation of the large open space in front of the Metro station, that bus capacity, and
enhances pedestrian pathways and brings the drop-off of disabled parking close to the elevator entrance. We are grateful to see the revisions to this proposal from the original townhouse format. We think the multifamily format is much more appropriate to the site. It's much more flexible. It allows for sharing parking. And we're very excited to increase the number of housing opportunities that we can offer here, more than double than what was the 90-unit townhouse proposal. So we are excited that we can provide the benefit of new people living in the downtown district of Tacoma who shop at local stores, who can be transit patrons, and who can own fewer cars and drive less than people in areas who aren't as close to transit. We know that people living close to the metro protects our environment, reduces CO2 emissions. Two points that I'd like to make that I think the WMATA board should act on is looking at reducing residential parking even more than has been reduced and requiring that transportation management plan. And secondly, honoring a 20% set aside for affordable housing at 36.8% baseline. Thank you.
Next is Elsie Ambrose, followed by John. Thank you.
My name is Kate. Elsie is one of those people. I'm a resident of Town Park. I live about 5 blocks from the metro. Here today. Very good. Appropriate site. Advised site. Obviously. Mass transit site that serves to have high besides that. A lot of people seem to be under the impression that the green space is going away. Green space is actually not going away. UIA is planned to improve it and put a nice park there. It's sort of a nice bunch of grass now, but nobody does anything with it. I've never seen anybody on it. Granted, I don't live across the street, but I literally have never seen it. So I just wanted to urge you to approve this plan. We waited too long to get the new residents in Tacoma Park, vitality, young people, restaurants, new shops. That's the program plan.
Thank you. Next is John Rechtenwald, followed by Ray Alton Boat. I'm sorry, John, I probably.
No problem. Not first. I'm an architect, but I'm a registered architect. Also, and also like, part of it has been rapid transit development, which is thinking about the neighborhood. Single family houses, large lots of trees, is not much of a belt around. So what I can tell you is that the community engagement process is everybody I was shocked to really understand. I thought 12 years coming here, so you know that this is new, 17 years of people. So if the opportunity for someone to say the architect is not involved, that's really not relevant. I've seen it on the other side, and I've never heard of this process in this way. Still asking. Second thing is the community. This is an asset to the community. The asset to the community needs to be used, and it will be used. The pressure is they can't happen on the site, it will happen. The question becomes is EYA or something else. The process needs to move forward. There are all kinds of peers. I've learned more as I've here's a whole set of issues that have laid out some plan, be addressed, and processed to me is really what is important. Keeping involved in the community is no question. It will be involved with that. I think the community will be well served. I believe that this site supports this building. I think it's also interesting to note that you're not going to be able to see the heights the way that things laid out. Try. Anybody?
Thank you. Next is Ray Altenbolt, followed by Jean Hereno.
Thank you. I'm Ray Altenbolt. My front door is a few hundred feet from the corner of the property that's proposed to be developed. I've lived there almost 40 years, moved there shortly after the metro opened. I can even hear the chimes when the subway train closed. I planted maybe 40 or more trees on the property that you're proposing to sell and on the apartments that I face. We are a historic area, single family homes, but is proposed is simply too massive. It's not in compliance with what we have on the Maryland side. It doesn't fit in. I had studied architecture for a couple years. As I traveled to London and Paris and a few other cities in Europe, I thought, this is a major city in the world. How can we so casually dispose of this? We have several apartment condos having been built in the last few years. For two or three more decades, they were just vacant lots. We need to see what is really going on. If EYA is doing such a wonderful thing, why can't they afford to dig out and put some of the square feet they're demanding underground? They're saving the money on that. We have nobody competing with EYA. This is not a good system if they're if no one is standing and saying, hey, this is bad. The traffic study is crazy. Lots of traffic from Blair rolls over onto Eastern Avenue for an hour or two in the evening. I just don't want to try to park, get out of my parking area in front of my house. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm Jean Guerrero. I live on up the hill on Eastern Avenue from the station. I've been there 22 years. For almost all those weeks of those years, I've ridden the metro 11 or 12 times a year. I agree very much with those who say that this proposed development is not compatible with our neighborhood. It would fit into Silver Spring, fit into Noma or New York Avenue, but not our neighborhood. I want to talk about two other issues very quickly. One is the parking question. I think people who live a little further away and can't walk to the metro station as I can really have a right to be able to use the station in an easy way. I walk through that parking lot twice a day, and I cannot explain to someone how you park in that place without getting in trouble. It's a crazy system, and there ought to be some simple system of a device to allow people to use it. I know there's demand for it because my friends are always asking me to use my driveway so they can use to get the metro. None of us can be opposed to park growth. Some of the people in favor of the development you heard from talk about it as though there's not been park growth around the metro station. In recent years, there have been three substantial apartment developments, literally within a stone's throw of metro station. Three. The fourth one is about to come online up behind 7-Eleven. I understand two or three years of work. If you don't already have it, I would urge you to have a list in your hands of the apartment developments within, say, a mile of metro station. To find a substantial development in recent years around the metro station. That's had a big impact on Eastern Avenue where I live. There's a lot more traffic now than there used to be. The ride on buses have to stop and pause and squeeze through and let people go by, go up and down the street every day, during most of the day. I would urge you to defer action on this for a sufficient time so we can see what the impact is going to be of all this development occurring in the area on both the metro station and on the neighborhood. And thank you.
Thank you, Jim. Next is Heidi Case.
Good morning, Chairman Davis and board members. I'm not here to speak about Tacoma. I do want to speak about really targeted, focused intervention. First of all, I again say I have been impressed and appreciative of the process I have had the opportunity to watch in approving this budget. I am, as a member of the AAC, I think given the limitations of budget,
that your choice to lower the cap was the best one, that 25% of Metro Access trips are now at the max $7 fare. So you have just given relief to 25% of the trips people take. And when you change the multiplier, people who are already getting a really reasonable fare at two times the bus, it would also lower their fare. So this really targets the people most impacted by the increase in fare. So I wanted to thank you and tell you that I appreciate that. As a member of, as a person who lives in Anacostia and with such a huge percentage of people who use the bus, all the issues of adding cash to the cash surcharge and adding cash to their cards, I thought you had a really thoughtful, it's challenging, there are, so I really wanted to say that I appreciate particularly your speaking out about that, Ms. Bowser. And I think to the my community in Anacostia, that's very important. There is a targeted way to improve within the AAC bus rail, but the model of how Metro Access responds to people with disabilities within our AAC meetings, there needs to be a comparable response by Metro staff's presence at AAC bus rail committee. So they can collect the data, the information that
thank you, your time has now expired.
Are giving and focus their intervention to improve that system.
Thank you, Heidi, and I would encourage you to have a longer conversation with Christian. Ken. next is Bradley Nordheim. He left. Next is Paul Schwartz. Paul Schwartz. Okay, there we are.
Bright lights. Good morning, Chair and distinguished board members. I am a former president of the Tacoma DC Neighborhood Association. That association has taken no position on the WMATA EYA development. Since Metro opened in 75, the surrounding area, the businesses and commerce have really clawed to get back to what they used to be, an integrated small downtown for the neighborhoods of Tacoma and Tacoma Park. We've had tremendous trouble doing that over the last 40, 50 years. And in the last 10 years with the interceding recession, we saw before the recession some remarkable developments with new multi-unit housing in DC, including my co-housing development of 100 people within a two-block radius of the metro. And then concomitant development of new businesses, both small and larger. Up to this point, most of the residents of Tacoma and Tacoma Park have had very few of the necessary services and retail choices that most communities desire and have had to get into cars, frankly, to go up to Silver Spring or over to Bethesda or many blocks south and east and west in DC. The idea that we would cut short after the recession and send the wrong signal by not approving the resolution to move forward another hearing and a zoning hearing, I think would send the wrong message. Where else would we want the millions of people who are coming to the DC area to go but sites like the site that's under consideration right on top of the metro? I have extended remarks which I would like to give to you, knowing that I have my two-minute limit, but I really sincerely ask you to move forward this resolution in front of you. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. I believe that completes the... Sure, Michael. Morning.
And I asked his assistants, don't bother me, go to Treasury. Rod Chernoff is unavailable, go to Treasury. When this happens, and it's happened more than once, call security, escort them out. And they usually have Chief Codlock, his entourage, removed. Another reason that the guy gets high star, folks don't want to deal with it. There's limited resources. I don't understand why the topo has to be here. That's not good. But if someone here, hundreds of thousands of dollars, monies that are paid for salaries, have someone available to deal with. Something. I'm a Ward 4 resident, and and I brought this to her attention more than once. I think it's important we have ethicality. Right? And I wrote to the DC Auditor, Chris Bowles used to be an answer. And the auditor's letter indicates, and I quote, for we weren't able to locate any checks for third and fourth quarter fiscal year 2005.
Michael, it's the same rule for everybody. When your time is up, and I'm sorry. Thank you.
Can I just make a copy of this for the record, please?
Could you give it to the secretary? Thank you. I believe that then completes the public. Barbara Whitney? Okay. I'm sorry, there is one more individual who did sign up, Barbara Whitney.
Hi, thank you very much. I live in Tacoma Park. I've lived in D.C., Tacoma Park, and Maryland, Tacoma Park, since the 70s. And I feel that it's been slow around the metro, and it's been slow in our little town, but now things are picking up. We have not only the Gables and the Cedar Crossing and the other building that's really just right across from the entrance to the metro, but we're going to have Tacoma Central, 150 units. We're going to have 7501 Spring Place, 142 residential units. Tacoma Theater, 22. There's going to be the Douglas Development Apartment on Maple Avenue, 100 residential units. We have Eastern Avenue redevelopment, 150 property. We also have Laurel Street, 70,000, over 70,000 square feet. We don't know exactly what you the class of development that's just been coming in to our little town. And it is a town, but it's borderland. And so our town always has to deal with the fact of there's D.C. and there's Maryland. I've lived on both sides. I feel like what we all want to do is to have as many people move as fast, as safely as they can, most especially by public transport, but all the other methods also. And so I would like to make sure that we consider that. Maybe we need a tunnel going not just from one side, but the D.C. side, to get people to be able to come in from the Blair Avenue. Maybe we need to have two more things that make it seem like people from D.C. are in Tacoma. It's difficult for all of us to deal with this borderline. So I would just urge you all to look at what a bigger building is in terms of safety and just people using it for walking, whatever, and maybe think of making a little bit smaller building there.
Thank you. This is the third time I'll make the assumption that this completes the public comment period for this board meeting. I'd like to exercise the prerogative of the chair to change the order of the agenda for the good of the people who have shown up here and move the agenda of the report of the Planning Program Development and Real Estate Committee up so that we could hear the motions and take action on the issues that all of these individuals have come to hear. I chaired the Planning Program Development of Real Estate Committee meeting of the 13th of March, and the following two items were discussed at the committee meeting. The first was the approval of the 2014 Joint Development Work Program. The staff sought approval of the plan for 2014 potential new joint development solicitation. Metro is considering issue solicitations for four properties across Virginia and Maryland. Available properties were reviewed by WMATA staff, who assessed their development potential based on market strength, developer offers and inquiries, adjacent land uses and projects, and consultation with local planning and economic development officials. And I would move approval of the committee's recommendation to approve the staff recommendation of the joint work plan. I'm sorry, motion made and seconded. Discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye. Those opposed? The second, I'm sorry.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. Before you start the next item, the applicant EYA is also a partner with JVG in the joint development for the Tacoma Park area. And JVG is also an active participant in land use development in Fairfax County. In an opportunity to avoid an appearance of conflict, I will disclose and recuse myself from this participation of voting. And I want to indicate that I do so voluntarily. There is no financial indirect or direct relationship with JVG.
Mr. Chair.
Mr. Goldman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would like to just recede from my position as a voting member for the discussion of this issue so that Ms. Porter of Montgomery County can participate as a voting member and fully participate in the conversation about the next item on the agenda.
Okay, good. Any other comments or suggestions or we have a motion and a second and no discussion on the approval of the joint development work plan. Everyone has said aye. We are now moving to the approval of the Tacoma amended joint development agreement and compact public hearing. At the committee meeting, the staff sought approval of the Tacoma amended joint development agreement and public hearing. The committee requested at the February 20, 2014 meeting to defer this action item until March 13, 2014. During the March 13th committee meeting, board member Porter presented changes to the resolution for this action. Following committee discussion and revisions to the proposed changes, the committee approved the resolution that is being presented to the board today. The amended and restated amendment incorporates all of the desired joint development project attributes as defined in the WMATA joint development policies and guidelines. The staff's approach toward the negotiation of the amended and restated agreement has followed the processes described in those guidelines. I would move the acceptance of the committee's recommendation to approve the resolution. Motion made and second. Discussion.
Chairman.
Ms. Porter.
I think as the members of the board can tell, there is and has been a lot of discussion and diversity of opinion on this issue within the Tacoma Park, Tacoma, DC community. I have actually personally been involved with this for, ever since it first came up in the late 1990s. At the time, I was the mayor of the city of Tacoma Park, and I have to say from the time it was originally proposed until I retired as mayor in 2007, this was probably one of the biggest issues and one of the ones that I was personally most involved in, of all the things that came before the Council of the City of Tacoma Park. In comparison to the previous joint development proposal, I think this one is much improved. It is certainly not perfect. And I know that going forward, there will continue to be some controversy and concerns about various aspects of this. One of the difficulties that I think this board faces is that there really isn't a way for us to address many of the concerns that people have brought forward with this proposal without moving forward in the process. The way this is very different from most joint development proposals that the board takes up. Most of the ones that the board sees are proposals that are being proposed for large empty spaces, parking lots, commercial areas, and they don't have as neighbors as close or people who are as concerned about the details of the design and the impact on their own properties and the impact on their own community as this particular proposal has generated. And so I don't think that the board has within its process a way of dealing with some of these concerns. The process that we have deals with financial concerns at this phase, deals with transit-oriented concerns at the public hearing, and then puts off design concerns, including size of the building, other aspects of the design, for the local development process. I want to say that I very much appreciate the chairman's offer to and the board's concurrence with that offer to make the City of Tacoma Park a party to the PUD process. I understand that the PUD process, since it hasn't started yet, that process of the City of Tacoma Park becoming a party has not is not something that can be considered right now. But I do appreciate the chairman's making that offer and that the staff supporting that. I am going to support moving this proposal forward right now, and I'm going to support doing that for a couple of reasons. One is that there is no other way for this board to deal with many of the issues that have been brought up other than moving it to the points where design issues can be taken up. As I said, the process that we have is not really designed for these kinds of neighborhood-based projects. And the second thing is that the City of Tacoma Park made a number of suggestions, which the committee endorsed and took into account. And I just want to make sure that the board and those listening know what those changes were. One of them was reiterating very clearly in the proposal that this board is not endorsing any design issues at all. None of the design proposals, none of the concept plans are being supported officially by this board. We are going to start essentially with a clean slate in terms of design. The second one was to minimize residential parking. Now, I said residential parking, not transit-oriented parking. I know that the transit-oriented parking continues to be an issue of some controversy. But to minimize residential parking as a way of ensuring that this is as transit-oriented as it can be. And secondly, although the public hearing process does not usually deal at all with design issues, the committee agreed to receive public comment in the public hearing process on design issues and to analyze those as part of the staff process and to forward them on to the DC Zoning Commission. I think those three changes very much assist in the process of the people in the neighborhood getting their full hearing in terms of having concerns about the design issues. And so I am supporting this proposal, this resolution going forward. And I want to thank the members of the committee and the chairman for listening to the concerns of the City of Tacoma Park and making the changes in the resolution that were made at the request of the City of Tacoma Park.
Thank you. Are there concerns? Bowser.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and I want to thank you for your work on this issue, certainly in the last months when I've been unable to be at the committee meeting. And I want to echo what several people have said, and I think that people who are familiar with this parcel know the process. And it is indeed the beginning of the process. You've heard that Metro has the staff has come to the board to ask for the ability to move forward with the compact hearing and change the sales agreement. You've also heard that what would need to happen in the district side in order for this plan to move forward is a very significant process in DC called our plan unit development process, which citizens have and certainly ANC commissions are afforded great weight, as is the council member for the area. So I'll get another slice of the apple. You also know that this project will have to meet historic preservation guidelines in the District of Columbia, which is also a very involved process, which would entail a lot of public input. You will also remember that we've been here before with this parcel some years ago, where we talked about a much different project, which was 90 townhomes, which didn't have some of the concerns that I've heard here today in terms of height, but there was also great consternation about moving forward with that project. Many people said it wasn't transit-oriented enough, that we were losing out on opportunities not only for Metro, but for a smart growth policy that would encourage the development of the type of amenities that we want. But the question for Metro, which I want to point out, is whether Metro should sell this parcel or not. That's the question before the board. The board had said then, and the board says now, that it is in its joint development policies and goals to sell the parcel. So the question then becomes, should we amend the old development plan? That's really what the question is here. And the old development plan was for 90 townhomes, in which a lot of people in there, or some people in the room, some of their successors, said we don't like that 90 townhome plan. So now we have to move the process forward. So what the board is being asked to do today is to say it's okay to move forward with the compact hearing to get further comment about how this works. And I think Mr. Downs was right to negotiate an agreement with our friends in Maryland. And we are friends, and say that we want your input in that process, and we'll certainly consider that in the Zoning Commission's review. Now, in the district, our Zoning Commission is independent from the council, is independent from the mayor, but certainly no matter where I sit, we want to make sure that residents' views are going to be heard in that process. I recall some other developments that we've been talking about in Tacoma. And what I have learned in 7 years of working with Tacoma, D.C. and Tacoma Park, Maryland, is that all of the projects have been improved by your comments and feedback, all of them. The Gables, Central Tacoma, all of them have changed from the time they were proposed to the time that they were built because of input from both sides of Tacoma. And so I don't see any reason for that to change as we move forward. Somebody also said that this won't happen tomorrow, and it won't. At the average time of a plan unit development negotiation is 18 months. Oftentimes, the historic preservation process happens simultaneously, and oftentimes those discussions take so long that market conditions change, people change, and we could be having this conversation again in 5 years. Nobody around this table wants to hear that, but it's true. It's a true statement. And so I would encourage all of us to, and the board and staff and the development team especially, to be very serious about moving forward, to be very serious about taking public comment. The design issues are significant. I have expressed a lot of concern about height. and density, because I do think that the project on the table is on the outside of the limits, to be honest with you. I wanted to see the staff come back with a recommendation that had this below 200 units. I do think that the parking that's suggested here is outsized. If people are concerned about parking, you don't build more parking. You encourage people to use the public transit, and that's why we're building it there. So I am comfortable with moving forward in the next step of the process, which is to take it to a compact public hearing. But I will say this, and I want to be real clear to the developers and to the staff, that you do have to come to the Zoning Commission. You do have to go to the public, the PUD process. And we're going to fight hard to make sure that this project, its density, its height, its design is in keeping with our expectations on both sides of Tacoma. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Ms. Bowser. Other comments?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, Clark? Just a brief comment, and this is more procedural than anything else, and that is, from the Governance Committee perspective, this just once again highlights the fact that we need to be examining what the board's actual role ought to be in the development process, and we've been working with General Counsel, and so our committee is going to be looking at that issue over the next several meetings. So I just wanted to remind the board.
Another
procedural matter. Over the course of the last week, we have been provided with a number of written comments with respect to this, both pro and con, and I'd like to see that those are incorporated in the record that's passed forward to the Zoning Commission.
Good point that they will be.
Mr. Chairman, I forgot to add, and I'll be quick. I know I've spoken too long. But one of several of the initial concerns that came up related to this project, and I will say that a lot of people have worked long and hard to address them, had to do with what many people in the neighborhood call the Tacoma Green, which is a green parcel between the station and the 7-Eleven. And the staff report, I would like to note, reserves that as a one-acre park space. And I will say it has never been referred to in any way at any time ever before at Metro as a park. So that should be considered a great advance in this discussion, that it will be reserved for green space.
Thank you. And point well taken. Any other discussion? Hearing none, we have a motion and a second to approve the committee's recommendation. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? Thank you. Next we have the report of the Accessibility Advisory Committee. Mr. Sheehan.
Thank you very much. Pleasure to be here. Quite a lot going on today. Over the last several months and over the last year, the disability community has done a lot of work. Working with the board, there have been a lot of meetings with respect to what is happening on the fare structures, particularly in Metro Access. I appreciate, and I wanted to thank the board and staff for the meetings and cooperation that we've had from you with respect to this issue. I think that what I've been informed about in the subcommittee has a lot of pluses going for it for the disability community. What I'd like to be able to see as far as sustainment goes and the sustainment of the Metro Access Plan is a timetable with some dates so that we could move forward with looking at that. And I certainly pledge the cooperation of my committee and working with members of WMATA staff in making sure that happens. But most of what I'd like to do today is thank my committee and for the hard work that they've put in and the disability community for the work that they've done. I'd like to reserve the rest of the AAC comments for Phil Posner, who's done an awful lot of work going to subcommittee meetings And I think he has a couple of things that he would like to mention in the AAC report.
Mr. Sheehan, I would also just add that you've never been bashful, so that we would expect you to be able to make a recommendation about what you thought a reasonable timetable was.
You've had a long day, and I'd just like to add my thanks to everybody that was thanked at the subject today. Mr. Charles, I really admire and respect what he's done for the system, what he's done for us. Thank you. Mr. Kistel, members of the board, it's a pleasure working with you. One of the highlights today, aside from the cost of being balanced, was the resolution on sustainability. So we said accessibility and sustainability. That's a very important resolution. And I've already thanked Ms. Hutchins for her quality of life commitment to that. Going in the right direction. Our bus rail committee is already working through lighting, the elevator escalator group, bus stop facility working group. We're looking forward to working with everybody to make it accessible and not sustainable. Thank you all.
Thanks. Next, we have the report from the Writers Advisory Council. Ms. Walker.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
It's been a long day, so I'm going to compress my remarks to a series of thank yous. First of all, the Writers Advisory Council would like to thank the Chair of Finance and Administration Committee for an opportunity to present our budget recommendations. And I'm not going to steal anyone's thunder, but I think our voice is heard. Respect. The second thank you goes to Mr. Downs, who did part of our orientation, which was some remarks and questions and answers from the Writers Advisory Council at our last meeting. If he ever leaves transportation, he has a third year pending as a raconteur. And his vision really kind of energized our council to have a special meeting on March 19th where we have developed a proposed committee structure and work plan and hope to bring that information to you in final at our 2014 meeting. Also, Ben Ball, the former chair, and I attended a Metro roundtable where Richard Stahl, among others, was the speaker, and that was convened by Congresswoman Eleanor Holmes Norton. And even though there weren't very many meetings, weren't very many attendees at the meeting, it was really a kind of a rich discussion. It appears that Metro is moving on to talk about a vision beyond momentum. That's very much appreciated. And finally, I'd really like to thank the board members individually and collectively in your committees and as the board as a whole, the quality and the thoughtfulness of what you've done in processing and deliberating on their recommendations. Really would like to know more about that. Thank you.
Thank you. A brief item from the chair, the member of the Writers Advisory Council from Maryland had resigned from the council, and the bylaws state that the board will appoint to fill a vacancy after consultation with the state of Maryland. The recommendation from the Maryland members is that the board appoint Robert Fogel to the Writers Advisory Council to fill the seat previously held by Alex Parkin, which is set to expire in December 2015.
Mr. Chair?
Mr. Goldman?
Yes, I'd like to extend a shout out and a hearty welcome to Bob Fogel as the new member of the Writers Advisory Council from Montgomery County, and just introduce you him to the board and to the public at large. Bob has been a resident of Montgomery County for close to 28 years, and he represents a double threat for Metro. During his time, he rode the Red Line to work every day. In addition, Bob and his family are frequent users of the T2 Metro bus, from one runs from the deep recesses of the Agricultural Preserve in Montgomery County down River Road into the district. So Bob, before then, was a senior legislative director for 28 years for the National Association of Counties, NACO, until his retirement just 5 months ago, so he can take on this new assignment on behalf of WMATA. And he also covered transportation issues prior to that while working as a staff member for many years for various Senate and House committees. So he'll be a great addition to the Riders Advisory Council. I welcome him to the board. And my colleague, Mr. Bolger, would also like to endorse this selection. Mr. Bolger.
Thank you, Mr. Goldman. I've known Bob for too long. In fact, he took my position at the National Association of Counties as the senior legislative lobbyist, if you will, on transportation and energy. Just very quickly, he did retire about 5 months ago. We had lunch about 2 months ago, and he said, you gotta help me out. I'm already bored. So I talked to Mr. Goldman about it, and I sincerely hope he adds value to the advisory committee. Thank you.
I'd just like to associate myself with those remarks. I've worked with Bob for years, and he will bring interesting views and a lot of help to our activities.
The only problem with being a known quantity is that everybody knows you. motion made. Do I hear a second?
Second.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. As opposed? Thank you. The report by the GM CEO.
Good morning or good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Good evening.
Not yet. Getting there. Mr. Chairman and board members, today we are seeking the board's approval of our fiscal year 2015 operating budget and fare changes. The board's action will enable Metro to operate the system with a continued focus on safety, including a new fatigue risk management program and continuing the close call program for employees. The operating budget also provides better and more service for our customers by funding the Silver Line and additional bus priority corridor network service. This year's budget review and approval process has been both openly deliberative and timely, and I applaud the board for working on a schedule that maximizes the opportunity for advance notice to our customers and implementation by our staff. I also like to thank our staff, the administrative staff, the financial staff, and the operations staff for all their work and putting this budget together and supporting the board's discussion. This early process has become one of the hallmarks of good financial governance while demonstrating an unprecedented new level of engagement with our customers and stakeholders. I am confident that this process will continue as the board reviews the capital budget and proceeds with its approval over the course of the next month. I'm pleased to announce that since the first of the year, we've gained major endorsements for the Metro 2025 plan, including 65 from local jurisdictions, businesses, and organizations. The Federal City Council and Virginia business groups, such as the Tysons Partnership, are among the new endorsers. The Washington Metropolitan Area's Consortium of Universities backs our plan, recognizing the benefit that a stronger Metro will provide to tens of thousands of students and university employees in our region. Some of our early endorsers are now helping raise awareness of Metro 2025 and the funding challenges ahead of us. As you heard this morning, the Board of Trade has made Metro 2025 one of its top three priorities for this year and will be advocating on your behalf and our behalf at every opportunity. In addition, the Coalition for Smarter Growth launched an online campaign mobilizing local transit advocates in support of Metro 2025. A campaign video features testimonials from Metro riders and explains what Metro 2025 initiatives will deliver for them. I encourage you to check out the Coalition's video online at smartergrowth.net/momentum. Earlier this month, Metro Center Station was closed for a weekend in order to complete upgrades. All red, orange, and blue line trains passed through the station without stopping, and Metro provided free shuttle buses to connect customers to Metro Center from two nearby stops, Federal Triangle and Gallery Place. I'd like to take a few minutes to explain to our customers why this closure and others like it are necessary. So let's take a look at what happened inside Metro Center during the 48 hours we closed down the station. First, we used this opportunity to change out major signage to include the new Silver Line station information. Metro Center will be a key transfer station for Silver Line riders, and all the updated signs need to be in place for the start of service. Four large overhead signs that stretch across the bottom landings of the escalators and stairs had to be replaced. And because we closed down the station, we were able to work on all four landings at the same time, reducing the duration of the project from 3 to 4 weeks of non-revenue weeknight shifts to just one weekend. We also completed the installation of new, brighter lighting on the station's mezzanine level. This is part of our larger initiative to install brighter lights in all Metro Rail underground stations. The use of the shutdown weekend allowed our lighting contractors to hardwire the new lights for regular and emergency power, completing 2 weeks of non-revenue weeknight shifts in just 2 days. And finally, Metro's plant maintenance staff conducted restoration work on the interior portal wall at the 12th and F Street exit. Grinders were used to remove stains on the cement wall, which required the use of aerial work platforms and the installation of temporary protection, and generated significant dust. The work and cleanup could not have been accomplished without a weekend closure of that entrance. As you can tell, these weekends are a very successful tool for accomplishing our work without interruption and accelerating our schedule. By closing down the station, we spend less time moving heavy equipment in and out and more time getting work done. Still, there's no doubt that closing this downtown transfer station was an inconvenience, and I'm thankful for the understanding and patience of our riders as Metro continues the rebuilding process. I have good news for our customers, too. Metro is now taking a break for the Blossoms. That means four consecutive weekends, which began last weekend, and runs until Sunday, April 13th, with no track work on any of our rail lines and no station shutdowns. The spring break gives our regular customers an opportunity to take Metro to their favorite springtime activities, whether that's a visit to the tidal basin to see the cherry blossoms, a picnic on the National Mall, or a trip to the zoo. It also helps to accommodate the influx of visitors that visit this region this time of year. The intense work to build a safer, more reliable, and more on-time system will resume. But first, let's all enjoy the season and take Metro wherever spring takes you. For this month's employee spotlight, we are recognizing bus operator Mamie Doyle of the Royal Street Division. Late last month, on February 28th, Ms. Doyle was off duty and traveling in her car along Interstate 495 when she came upon the scene of a woman attempting to jump from the Route 1 overpass. She pulled her car over and approached the scene to assist an Alexandria police officer who was attempting to rescue the woman. The bridge was covered with ice, and the woman was standing on the outside of a concrete barrier that divides the travel lanes from the bridge decking. Little separated them from the edge, and the police officer was struggling to hold the woman back. But with the help of Ms. Doyle, they managed to move the woman away from the edge and to a safe place inside the barriers. I am told that the officer and Ms. Doyle put themselves at risk of falling to save this troubled woman. Today, we take the opportunity to thank Ms. Doyle for displaying the highest level of courage by saving the life of another, and we recognize her for her public service and selflessness. These traits serve her well as a Metro bus operator, and we are proud to have her as an employee. Ms. Doyle, please come forward and join me for a photo. And that concludes my remarks.
Before we start the rest of the business, we do have a motion for certification of an executive session. I move that the board certify to the best of each member's knowledge and with no individual member dissenting that at the Monday, March 24th, this was this week, board executive session, only such matters as are authorized for discussion in executive session under board bylaws Article 10, and only those matters identified in the notice by which the executive session was convened were heard, discussed, or considered by the board.
Motion made and seconded. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Thank you. Report by the Governance Committee, Mr. Dyke.
Okay. The following actions were referred to the board at the March 13th meeting.
In case anybody wanted to actually hear what I was saying. Approval of revisions to the Inspector General's job description and reporting relationship. The committee moved to approve revisions to the Inspector General's job description and reporting relationship. These proposed changes further clarify the relationship between the board and the Inspector General and strengthen cooperation between the board, Metro Management, and the Office of the Inspector General. With the documents in your book, I would like to move approval of this new job description.
Second.
Motion made and seconded. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? A report from the chair of the Finance and Administration Committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We have three actions that were referred to the board at the March 13th and March 27th meeting of the Finance and Administration Committee. First, staff sought approval to increase the FY 2014 total reimbursement budget in order to expand the DC Circulator Bus Service Program on behalf of DDOT. This included increasing the DC Downtown Circulator Bus Project budget from $21 million to $32 million. Authorize the use of residual funds from other completed capital reimbursement projects as a source of funding for the project budget increase. Amend the total FY 2014 capital reimbursement budget for increase of over $11 million. And also authorize Metro to purchase 13 additional buses. And with that, I would like to move approval.
Mr. Dunn,
before you proceed to the vote, could I just for the record state that I'm going to step back on these three items and that Ms. Hines is the vice chair of the committee, vote in my place.
Thank you. Motion made.
Second.
Seconded. Discussion. Hearing none. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? Next item.
Staff sought approval to file an application for FTA's competitive grant opportunity for resiliency projects under the Public Transportation Emergency Relief Program and Disaster Relief Appropriations Act of 2013. I'd like to move approval of this item.
Okay.
Motion made and seconded. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Next item.
Staff sought approval of the public hearing report, Title VI Equity Analysis, and the FY 2015 Operating Budget and the FY 2015 Fair Adjustments. I would like to move approval of that resolution.
Second.
Motion made and seconded. Discussion? Mr. Downey?
But as provided to us, we have the resolution. We also have attached to it the amendment that I offered in the committee, and I ask that that be dealt with as an entire package.
Accepted.
And the amendment to do the resolution that's before us as opposed to one in the package.
Yes.
For the record, is it important to note the changes that we've made since published in the resolution? Is it helpful? For those that are listening and might not
know. Summary.
Well,
I think yeah. That's a fair point.
Okay. I just want to note that there, the resolution included whereas on page two, regarding, I'm sorry, I lost my place as I started to talk. Yes. Yes, at the top of page 2 and at the bottom of page 1. And the resolve that follows at the point of top of page 3. So that's noted. And those were items that were relative to the board's approval of going out to our jurisdictions to discuss the surcharge with our partners at the Council of Governments regarding surcharge and electronic boarding payment.
But I think if we could summarize the changes from the last time we talked really as a board, they're in three particular areas. One is around working metro access issues more regionally and involving COG and our partners. The other is this issue Ms. Hudgens notes about the unbanked. And now the third one just left my mind. There was a third one that we really...
The third one is going to be inserted.
Right. And then OPEB is the third one where we indicated that we were not going to walk away from a commitment to continue to fund other post-employment benefits for the many employees who work for the agency. So I think we indicated some important areas of work going forward in the context of the resolution. Right.
Any other comments on the resolution?
I think
hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Any other issues to come before the board?
Yeah. Safety committee.
Oh.
Hurts.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
On behalf of the safety committee,
Mr. Downey.
Bring forward a resolution approved by the Safety and Security Committee this morning, thanking and commending Ms. Deborah Hersman, who is retiring as the chair of the National Transportation Safety Board. She has been working with us for the last 4 years on the improvements that are needed to the system. As I said this morning, she's been a harsh critic when we needed to hear that, and she's been a great supporter as we make progress. And we will hopefully continue to work well with the board, but we'll miss Deborah.
Second. Discussion? Hearing done. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Jurisdiction
Mr.
report.
Chairman, Mr. Chairman, you have a consent item on the agenda that needs to be considered.
Okay.
Couple of the end.
Oh, right.
Okay, we're moving. We're good.
I'll call for the motion made and seconded for the consent item. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Indicate what is the item that we're approving?
It's approval of the indemnification of the Commonwealth of Virginia. We don't want to forget that.
Put in parking meters. All those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. Jurisdiction reports. District of Columbia has nothing to report. Maryland?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Just a brief comment. Actually, two friends very recently, one who happened to catch one of our meetings on TV and another friend who observed, said, I don't smile very much when I'm here. And... It's not that I'm not having a good time. It's that the issues are focus, and my brow wrinkles when I focus, and it doesn't seem like a smile, but I'm enjoying it the whole time.
You should see when he's really mad, though.
But I do have one item to make note of that in addition to the accomplishments recognized today in term and the achieving the operating budget agreements and a number of other key issues, and that is just to make note of the fact that for some substantive activity took place in Maryland and supported by our federal government in terms of the movement forward on the Purple Line. I just want to draw attention to that the President Obama included $900 million recommendation in the federal budget for federal funding for the Purple Line to move forward. FTA issued its record decision approving the Purple Line environmental plan. And the project is on track to begin discussions for a full funding agreement with the federal government. And then also important, significantly, the selection process is underway for the public-private partnership that would build, operate, and maintain the Purple Line, and construction could be as early as next year. And I said as early as, but what's important is that it is a process moving forward and significant complement to the transit system that's in place and with a seamless transportation asset that would complement what is already in place here right now. So I want to recognize that and look forward to that continuing reports on that. Thank you.
Report from the Commonwealth of Virginia.
It's only got the legislative success that WMATA had in terms of the off-boarding transit piece that was done with the police for the Commonwealth. And
only thing I would add is that that the University of Virginia will hold the flag high for the region and the Sweet 16. So there's no doubt.
Everyone else in the region has been calling.
And the federal government?
Yeah, I, on behalf of the federal government, would like to draw people's attention to the website of the House Transportation and Infrastructure Committee, which includes each day important things that have happened in the history of transportation. They note that on this day in 1976, Metro Rail service began, and they wish us a happy 38th birthday. And I'm hopeful that later in the year they will have a large present for us.
I settled for just a every authorization.
That's what I thought.
That's right. With no other business to come before the board, I would adjourn the meeting. Thank you.
Thank you.